When you have a strong mission and everyone's eyes are focused on the mission, people just naturally, they're available. They want to collaborate, want to help each of us be successful, because when we succeed as a team, we're succeed and we're helping grow the kingdom. And so the mission matters.
When you combine finance, the banking world, and faith, how does one lead with a mission-driven approach? Welcome to Seek, Go, Create, where today we're joined by Aaron Cade, Senior Vice President and Chief Marketing Officer at Christian Community Credit Union. Aaron stepped into this role with a desire to align his extensive marketing expertise with his faith, guiding a finance institution dedicated to not just profit, but purpose. With over two decades of experience in digital transformation and brand loyalty across notable organizations like Citibank, JP Morgan Chase, and the YMCA of Metro Chicago, Aaron's journey is a blend of strategic innovation and principled leadership. Aaron, welcome to Seek, Go, Create.
Thank you, Tim. It's a pleasure to be with you and your listeners.
Yeah, I'm glad that you're here. We're going to have a fun conversation. First thing let's just do a little icebreaker. Somebody bumps into you and say, I just ask what you do. What's your answer typically to people?
So I would say what I'm passionate about is I help Christ followers align their financial lives with their faith to bring true stewardship to their lives. The gifts that God has entrusted with them are obviously, they're not ours. God has entrusted it to us. It all belongs to Him. So how do we put our financial gifts to their best use to further the kingdom? So I'm just thrilled to be in a role where I can do what I love to do professionally, which is marketing in financial services, and align it with my own faith and help other Christ followers align their finances with their own Christian faith.
Let's take a short break from the show. Think about the leader you are today and the leader you want to become. Hello, I'm Tim Wenders, your guide to personal and professional transformation. In my executive coaching sessions, we dive deep into what it means to be a truly impactful leader, one who leads not just with skills, but with vision and faith. Through my coaching, leaders have redefined their approach, achieving not just success, but also purpose and joy in their work. Are you ready for this kind of transformation? Let's explore your potential together. Schedule your free discovery coaching call at timwenders.com/coaching. Your leadership journey is just beginning. Now back to Seek, Go, Create. So what's your personal faith story, faith journey? Are you, Christian from birth, or has that been a journey process like most of us? And you give me the high points of, when you decided that you were going to be a follower of Christ.
Yeah, I was raised in a Methodist family. So I have very early memories of being in church and going to Sunday school. But I made my own personal commitment to Christ when I was a junior in high school. And a very good friend of mine, we just had a conversation one night, and he just shared with me his own story and asked me if this was a journey I wanted to embark upon. And we prayed together. I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior that night. And, I can't say it's always been a smooth journey since. I don't think it is for anybody. But I can say that since I met my wife almost 8 years ago at this point, she's a true spiritual partner for me. And it's really accelerated my spiritual growth and a deepening relationship with the Lord. And I just, it makes for a very fruitful and abundant marriage as well, just to be not just a strong married couple, but spiritual partners as well.
I think it's an amazing, and that story is very common, amazing, where we have, we'll call it hard charging, maybe success oriented dudes, guys like, probably we are, that many times seems like, just my perspective, there's a strong faith driven woman that keeps just a lot of that stuff on track. That's the way it is for me. I don't know if that is for you. Sounds like
It is. And it's just, and it's, you know, we've grown deeper in our local church community. We've become leaders in our church, and it's just been, it's been a good, organic, fruitful journey together. So I just feel like my, my faith grows day by day. And then being in a company where I can live out my faith every day at work, where it's encouraged, where it's welcome, where we actually work together to not only to help achieve business objectives, not only to serve our members, but to help each other grow in faith. So it's just a, it's just been a complete blessing for me, this even the last few years of my spiritual journey.
Yeah, that is good. When you got, you know, Christian in the name of your organization, it kind of, and we'll talk about this in a little while, probably creates a bit of a standard and a purpose, and maybe also a target and all. We'll talk about that in just a second. But I, for those that are listening, for those that are watching this on YouTube, you will see that Aaron has, is that burnt orange? What color is that that shirt is there?
It is burnt orange.
Orange. Yeah. Orange. And there's a picture of a longhorn, you know, some kind of outdoor animal on there. And so my big question is it possible to be a Christian and go to the University of Texas? I'm just wondering about that, because absolutely, that's got to be part of the journey, right?
Absolutely. I have to say a strong faith community at the university when I was there, very active Christian student groups, but is absolutely, and sometimes the Longhorns do test my faith, but this last year was a particularly good year in terms of football, at least. But I look back on my time at the University of Texas and appreciate every moment of it.
We'll see how things go as y'all move over into, you know, that whatever Southeastern Conference and all that. So one other question, just a rumor I heard about Texas, that many people there believe that Matthew McConaughey may be the second coming of Christ. Is that a true or false statement?
I don't know what other people believe, but I certainly don't believe that. He's a good actor. He's a funny guy. He's a good team supporter, but no.
I think, what's the title now? Minister of Culture or something like that at the school? I don't know. All right. Well, enough with the fun stuff here. Let's talk serious. I did, when you first jumped on, I said, hey, where's your banker outfit, man? You're wearing, like, you know, this Longhorn pullover here. And don't y'all all wear suits?
Not us. And I haven't worn a suit on a regular basis for a long time. It's been a long time.
Wow.
We're not staid bankers. We're vibrant Christ followers.
Very good. All right. Well, let me do a couple things here. I want to dig a little bit in how you ended up in, it looks as if your journey has been in and around a lot of the banking world. And, you know, there's some, yeah, you're with Christian Community Credit Union now, but some of these banks are the big ones that are out there, Citibank, JP Morgan Chase. Did you come out of school and go into the banking world? Is finance always been your thing, or did you just realize that somewhere along the way?
It came a little later in my career development. When I first came out of the University of Texas, I worked for Accenture. Interestingly, I was doing IT consulting, and that gave me great, I learned skills there, especially in project management, that have served me well for the rest of my career, no matter what area I've been focused on. It was after graduate school that I made the move into financial services, joining Citibank right out of my graduate program, and got exposed to lots of different areas of the consumer banking business, operations, finance, and then marketing. And marketing is where I really found my passion, and that's where I've developed my career since.
So did you ease into marketing, or was it something you were, like, you know, you're focused on getting into? Did it, you know, was it the grace of God? Was it luck? Was it focus? What strategy? What was the path? Because it, you know, from the IT, truthfully, let me just say that's a tough leap if one really is looking at it from what the world would say would be like that traditional path. So how did that come to be? I'm fascinated with journey. We love the journey here on Seek, Go, Create. So what was that journey like?
I mean, I joined at Citibank an intentional management development program. So it was intentionally designed to provide three very different experiences in the consumer bank over 3 years. And so I started in a role that was in finance and then in operations. I worked in a call center for a period of time and then took on a rotation in marketing. And just marketing was something I had never really done before. So a lot of it was learning, understanding how to connect with consumers, how to connect with them on solving problems or meeting needs. And I just loved it. I just found that the whole process of connecting with consumers was just so fun. And you get instant feedback. So you can learn and adapt and improve and do new things with real life feedback from real life people. And so I just loved it. So that's the direction I chose to go from that moment on, both at Citibank and then later with JP Morgan Chase and at Sears as well. I was the chief marketing officer in the financial services business at Sears.
So you moved after the consulting roles, it seems like you did move into that retail banking industry and Sears, was that in their credit area?
It was in the financial services business, which was the Sears card is the biggest part of that, but there were many different products that were meant to help facilitate sales, help consumers to be able to make, whether it's a big appliance purchase, to be able to finance that over time, or to be able to get, you know, the apparel and back to school items for their kids. It ran the gamut, and it covered Sears and Kmart, and Land's End at that time was part of the Sears universe too.
Are they still around, Sears? I know Kmart, they're not quite. Are they gone?
Almost all gone. Almost. They're still there. There's still a few stores. There's still an online presence, but no, it's not the place it was when I was there, unfortunately.
I'm of the age that still remembers all the Sears stores, Kmart's too, all of those. And I think that's the nature of business that things ebb and flow, but we have Amazon delivering at our doorstep, even though we're in an RV almost every day, and that's a reflection on that industry going by the wayside. Aaron, when I asked you at the beginning kind of what you do, you brought up that communicating stewardship to the people you interact with and how they could be stewards with their finances and all was important to what you do now. If you back up to, you know, JP Morgan, Citibank, and then into that Sears arena, was that stewardship focus present then, or did that grow over time? Did it come to a head when you came with the credit union? Talk about that process, because that process has been interesting for me. What's that been like for you going through those type organizations?
Yeah, it was present back then. It would be the more secular version of stewardship, which is financial health or financial fitness or investing for the future, you know, saving for the future. Those things aren't specifically stewardship. They can be part of stewardship, but it's the secular version of that. And so taking that and taking it to where God intends us to be has been very much interwoven with the role that I currently have at Christian Community Credit Union, and really being able to take practices that were effective in helping consumers and businesses achieve better financial health, but then turn that toward eternal gain, not just financial gain in this world.
I'm one that I could do some, I don't say bashing, complaining about some of the big banks out there, but I don't want us to do that here. I'd rather not. We'll talk a little bit about the differences between credit unions and banks in just a moment. But I think the thing I'd love to know is, did you have any, when there are often people that are in what we'll call the marketplace, that their faith is growing, they're moving through the corporate, either the ladder, or they're just moving and, you know, trying to attempt to do the things they need to do there, that conflicts will arise between their faith and either what they're asked to do or who they're interacting with or anything like that. without bashing, were you ever faced with some conflicts? Were there things where your faith was stretched or strained, where you felt, I'll use the word compromise, if that makes sense, where you said, ooh, this is something I would rather not. Anything like that come to mind when I bring that up? Because those are some really profit-driven big organizations that you were a part of. And I right. could see the possibility for conflict.
And without being specific or using names, which I think you're asking me to do, I have been in situations where I've been asked to undertake the development of a product or a project that didn't have, in my mind, the right focus. It was focused on maximizing profits for the company as opposed to maximizing value for the consumer. And I think I think it can be very easy for those paths to diverge, but ultimately the best profits and the ones that are sustainable are the ones that are derived from generating value for the consumer, for the end consumer. When they are getting value for their money, they will be loyal to your product and to your company, and they will buy more from you. They will take on more products. So oftentimes I did find myself, being asked to do things that I thought, this seems like we're trying to trick people. I see how this generates profit in the short term, but it's done through tricking people or not being entirely forthright. And I don't agree with that. So I did argue for my position when these things came up. And in many cases, I was successful. In other cases, I wasn't as successful. There's at least one job that I left because there were too many instances of the company making a decision that what might be good for the short term, for short term profitability, but not good for consumer value and not good for long term health and profitability of the company.
Yeah, I feel confident, Aaron, that anyone who's been in the marketplace has probably faced something like that. I think when we're faced with those things, I think there's a couple things happen. Number one, we grow because we learn. And I think that at times when we're in a compromised position for too long, I think it can impact our soul. And, you just mentioned that you left a job or anything like that. But one of the things we love to do here is if there's a quote unquote ministry opportunity, is there anything that you might say to someone who's in a tough spot right now that maybe they're in a bigger organization or something and they're just trying to live by that faith too? I don't know. And if nothing comes to mind, that's fine. But just anything that you learned while navigating that process yourself?
I mean, I think you can advocate for what's right and you can do the right thing and set a good example and others and encourage others to follow. And I think that's, we can all do that no matter where we work. And, I've been very fortunate that this has not been something I've had to address much in my career. There was that one instance a long time ago ultimately, I do find that there is a lot of good in this world, and there are a lot of people who want to do the right thing. Sometimes people can get distracted by short-term profits. But if you can advocate for the right thing, model the right behavior, and encourage others to follow, a lot of times you can get others to follow you and do what's right.
Yeah, what's interesting is we've had this conversation a lot here at Seek Go Create. There are many people that would say that a ministry role is where everybody needs to be that's a follower of Christ. And you see what you just said to me highlights the need for people of faith to be in the marketplace. Because you may have known about it, and you may not even know, or had to be an example to some other people. And it sounds like it was positive. We mess up, but anyway, sounds like it was. There was something you mentioned just a few minutes ago that before I go into the differences between the organizations you were with and now the organization you're currently with. I'd like, you brought up the word, I think, tricking people, which is interesting, I think, in the capitalist free enterprise, which I love, by the way. I'm a business consultant. I'm an entrepreneur and started my first business way back in the mid-80s in college and have had companies and all that. However, I do notice, and I'm a marketing guy too. I love doing marketing things and all. I do notice it's very easy to go from promoting, maybe persuasion, to somewhere along the line, we can often cross over into manipulation, deception, and it sounds like you have seen maybe some of that, and that might have been part of what you were just talking about. But you talk a little bit about that, and I've got a follow up question that might help us lead into the talking about where you are now. But to me, with all that is going on, and I, you know, my feed shows it in social media. I see it if I turn on, you know, YouTube or something like that. For those, you know, there was a couple football games yesterday. There's commercials and things going on. How do we stay on that promotion side, maybe a little bit of persuasion, and not step over into the manipulation and deception?
I think, and it can come from actually a good place too. It can come from passion and exuberance, and you really believe in what you're selling and the product, and you get into it. Sometimes it can overflow into exaggeration or glossing over the negative. And so, you know, it isn't always coming from a bad place, but it can just be an extension of something that started and is ultimately a good thing. And I think where you can help yourself there is to surround yourself with other perspectives and voices. So people who are not afraid to say no, or to say, hey, I see what you're saying, but so I love being in a culture that promotes that diversity of thought and diversity of perspective, because everyone just keeps each other on the right path, because people aren't afraid to say, but did you think about that? Or how about this? Or maybe we could say it better this way. So I think that's important. It has to be an intentional approach, because it's, you know, it can be very easy to get into command and control kind of environment where people do what they're told, and that's not good. It ultimately is not good for them, not good for the leader, and it's not good for the culture or for the consumer. So I love environments that promote that, and I've worked in many places that do, and it's just fun. It's fun and creative, and you keep things on the right path that way.
I love what you said about diverse thought and things like that. And listen, diversity, I want to say this loud and clear, diversity is not a bad word. A lot of people in today's world, it becomes political. Diversity is a great word, but it goes all the way around. My wife worked for a Silicon Valley company, and they were heavy into diversity and all of that, but not really the type of diversity that she brought to the table, which was a conservative Southern Christian woman. You know, it was more other. I love having a wide variety around the table. But the thought that came to me, and this is where I want us to start migrating towards talking about the Christian Community Credit Union. When you were in the roles, you talked about they were consumer driven with your previous, we'll call them the retail banking industry. Who did those organizations serve? And when I say serve, I don't necessarily mean customer. Who were they in servant to? And I think this is going to lead us into the question about Christian Community Credit Union. I think you're smiling. I think you know where I'm going here. So talk to me about who those organizations serve, and then I'll see if there's a follow-up before we bridge into the next area.
Yeah. For the most part, you're serving investors, right? You're helping deliver a return to shareholders, a return on their investment. And And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. It's how we have built this incredible economy. It's how we've built this country. So that's good. But it has to, you know, you have to be doing that in the delivering those returns to shareholders because you're meeting needs for end consumers. You're solving problems for them. You're helping make their lives better. But yeah, ultimately you're serving shareholders.
And the challenge, going back to the potential conflicts, is at times there can be a built-in conflict between what we were talking about, you know, maybe manipulation, trickeration, whatever word you want to use, and that. Is that a true statement?
I mean, there can, you know, that's why, and that's then when you talk about ministry not being the only way you can serve faithfully, I think that's why we need, you know, we need Christ followers throughout our economy who are, right. Yes, they're working hard to deliver value for shareholders, but they're doing it by serving customers, by doing the right thing, earning profits in the right way, in a sustainable way. And so I wouldn't want to see every Christ follower in a ministry role. It would just, the impact would be diluted. We want to see Christians, believers in every aspect of our economy and our society having an impact, because anything, many aspects of life can be ministry. They don't have to be teaching on Sunday in church. You can minister in many ways.
Yeah. And I want to say this sort of as a follow-up is that there are probably some ministries and churches, I'm on the board of a few ministries and, you know, churches, that they may not be serving the proper thing also. They might be in it for something different than is pure. So this is not just a...
Because, you know, humans are fallible, right?
It's more of a human thing, but I do think sometimes we can structure things to where they have the higher likelihood of moving into that stewardship role that you brought up earlier. So having said all that, somewhere along the way, you left the bigger banks. I bank at Wells Fargo. And let me just say, I loathe them at times. Right now I'm in a situation where it's related. I'll share this. It's related to the Patriot Act. They need a physical address. Well, I don't have one. I am a nomad, homeless, and they are needing that to conform. You probably know it in your industry. And they finally got one, but there's a relative of ours that's in a similar situation. They shut down an account because they didn't have it. So anyway, all right, rant over. Somewhere along the way, you moved into a credit union situation, and to put a capper on that, Christian community credit union. So talk about that transition, and then in a little while, I want it for someone who may not know, we're going to talk about the difference between credit union and that retail bank and all that. But talk about your transition and what that looked like.
I really consider it providential that I became aware of the role that I have today. I frankly didn't know that there was even such a thing as a Christian credit union. I did not know that that there were faith-based organizations that collect deposits, lend money. I didn't know until I learned about it from a recruiter. And at that moment, I really felt God grabbing me by the lapels and saying, this is what you need to do. This is for you. And I'm so thankful for that. And credit unions, they explicitly align your incentives with what's right for members. So just any credit union, your credit unions are owned by the members. So I'm a member of Christian Community Credit Union. I'm a part owner of the credit union. Credit unions exist to serve their members. Their board of directors is elected from among their members, and the profits you earn go back to members in the form of better rates and lower fees. And in the case of Christian Community Credit Union, we also give back to ministries who are serving to spread the gospel, to protect vulnerable children, to combat human trafficking. So we intentionally take a portion of our profits and donate them to expanding the kingdom.
And so how long have you been with them? What was the time frame? I saw it somewhere. I don't have it in front of me here.
It's been a little over 3 years, and those 3 years have flown by. I still feel like the new guy at the credit union, but it's been 3 years, and it's just been an incredible experience.
So you made that transition in the midst of what I guess worldwide pandemic, correct? How was that change during that? I'm hopeful that we're getting away from having the discussion, but I'm always intrigued by changes that people went through during that time frame.
I didn't even meet my team face to face until I had been on the job for 6 months. So it wasn't possible to travel and to go into the office for the first 6 months I was on the job. And we really didn't skip a beat. I wondered how this would be, get onboarding, taking on a new job, getting to know, you know, my peers, my boss, getting to know my team purely on Zoom. And it worked. It worked. And I think a lot of that has to do with the culture of the credit union. People are just collaborative. When you have a strong mission and everyone's eyes are focused on the mission, people just naturally, they're available. They want to collaborate, want to help each of us be successful, because when we succeed as a team, we're helping members become better stewards, helping members succeed financially, and we're helping grow the kingdom. So the mission matters. Having a good, strong, and in our case, Christ-centered mission is so critical for our culture, so critical for how we work together, so critical for the successes we're able to achieve. And in my case, so critical for being able to join a new company and get to know everyone virtually.
What's interesting, you brought this up, and I'm thinking the same thing on my end. I'd like to think I'm pretty familiar with businesses, business models in my, 60 years here, because I've studied it and all that. I was not aware of an organization, a credit union, that was a banking organization that was faith-based. I was aware of the insurance, the health insurance. That's kind of like the medical share and things like that. I was somewhat aware of those things. Did not know it existed in the banking world. But before we go too much farther into that, what I'd let you did it a little bit, and I know this is probably a question you answer a good bit. So this is almost like if you've got pitch mode, this might be the pitch mode to go into. I'm giving you permission. Why a credit union over a traditional retail bank? You mentioned members and things like that. So if there's some repetitiveness, that's okay. But give me the reason or the contrast. What's the difference between the two? That I'm a Wells Fargo guy. Go ahead and sell me. Tell me why I should leave and take all my accounts, business and all, and come over to Christian Community Credit Union. I'm okay with you selling me.
Okay, great. Well, you can bank just about anywhere. You can bank with an organization that uses your money to fund questionable practices, may invest your money in questionable or things that you don't agree with morally or spiritually, or you can take your money and put it on deposit with Christian Community Credit Union, where you know that the money you put on deposit helps us provide affordable financing to build new churches, to help ministries grow, to help impact the king. And it's ultimately going to further the gospel, not in support of an organization that might be trying to suppress the gospel like many of the big banks seem to be doing these days. And in the process, because we exist to serve members, not to earn profits for shareholders, you're getting better rates. Often you're getting better rates than you could at a secular bank, lower fees, and you've got products that are designed with your needs in mind. Transparent, providing you value, serving your needs, helping you steward God's resources in the best way you can.
I want to drill down on that word transparent, because as a member-driven organization, My guess is that transparency is the members have access to, I don't want to say all the financials, but it's available. We used to be the members of a co-op that was a power company. And, you know, they would actually pay money. Now that we're years ago, we lived there. I still get a check every few years because there was funds that were made while we were members, quote unquote, paying, and we're still getting some of that back. But anyway, that I do think there's a higher level of transparency in a member-driven credit union than, let's say, one of the big retail banks. I don't know that much about Wells Fargo. I could probably study their shareholder reports, but hey, I don't dig in much there. So transparency, good thing?
Very good thing. And we publish our financials, our audited financials every year. We have an annual meeting of members where they can bring questions. They can ask us questions about the financials. And we actually publish our financials more frequently than once a year, but we make a big push to members in that annual meeting. And the transparency also comes in the way products are designed. You know, some financial institutions, the way they make money is they create complicated products that have catches and hooks and hidden fees and things like that. You know, with us and with many credit unions, you want to create a product that is serving a need, a defined financial need that members have in the simplest way possible. So it's not, you know, you're not looking to create all these fees that maybe in the short term help the bottom line, mm-hmm. but in the long term aren't serving the end consumer well. So I think the transparency comes in many ways, and all the way down to how products are designed and marketed.
Now, a lot of people traditionally, their bank, they wanted it on the, you know, corner of, you know, Main Street and Third Avenue. So I guess they could go down and check their money or something. I'm not sure. I can't tell you the last time I've actually been in a physical bank. But a lot of people feel the need for that. Has the banking industry moved to primarily virtual? Or are y'all still, specifically even with Christian Community, is it location driven? And I know there's some regulations with where you can do business, right?
So we serve Christians in all 50 states. We serve Christian ministries in all 50 states. We, because we're a credit union, we're part of the co-op network of shared branches. So the shared branch network is over 5,600 branches across the country. That's more than Chase or Wells Fargo. So, but most of our members, the vast majority of our members, do business with us digitally from the convenience of their phone. And mm-hmm. and just like you, I can't remember the last time I was in a branch or needed to do something there. But if a member does need to do branch banking of some sort, they can go to their neighborhood credit union and conduct business. And there's over 30,000 surcharge-free ATMs as well to take out money without paying fees.
And one of the things that I, way back when, I had heard you need to be part of a credit union, it's just a better banking experience. That was in general. However, because I was not necessarily, you know, in a community, my wife and I have been traveling for 10 years. I wasn't necessarily a former military person, or I didn't believe I was part of a community that was a credit union, because it is, you know, the people that are in the community share something. They share either I hate to say an alumni, but and the one that keeps popping to mind is the Navy Federal. I guess those are people that served in military or family or anything like that. Is the requirement strict for membership? This is not where I want to ask for a profession of faith. We'll talk about that in just a moment.
Okay.
But is the membership requirement strict that people need to be part of that group?
Yeah, you can become a member in one of three ways, or you can qualify for membership in one of three ways. One is through your church, school, or ministry. You might work for one of them. You might be a member of a ministry, or you might be a regular attendee. That's one way you can qualify, is just by virtue of the church, school, or ministry that you're affiliated mm-hmm. with. Another way is you could be related to an existing member of the credit union. So, and the third way is you can join our partner charity. So we are partnered with Christian Alliance for Orphans, and they just do incredible work to lift up the widows and the fatherless, both here domestically and across the globe. And you can join Christian Alliance for Orphans at the same time you join the credit union and be eligible for membership that way.
So in credit unions in general, there is that membership component, and you just went through, I think, for y'all's. Give me, I think I saw it somewhere on a site, and I'm sure you could probably do this fairly easily. It wasn't always Christian Community, and this organization has been around. This isn't something that just popped up here a few years ago. I think I saw it was 50, 60 years or something. Maybe I might be wrong on that.
66 years ago.
Yeah, give me quick history, and then I've got a couple other things here that I want us to hit before we start wrapping up.
So 66 years ago, a handful of American Baptist ministers got together and were comparing notes about how hard it was to get financing to build a church or to expand their ministry because banks just didn't understand them. They said they don't understand an organization that lives off of the generosity of its members, and they don't know how to read a giving statement. So they found it very difficult to do that. But they said, what if we pool our resources together? We could then help others in our same position. So help other American Baptist ministers. And that's how it got started. It got started in the back of a church one day and started with, I think, four or five ministers. It was originally the American Baptist Ministers Credit Union, and then over time it grew to serve the entire American Baptist community, became the American Baptist Credit Union, and then about 25 years ago expanded to include, to become the Christian Community Credit Union. So, and we're now the largest faith-based credit union in the country in terms of assets.
Yeah, so this is a slightly, I sometimes just give a warning, this is a slightly cynical question, so I'll just go ahead and prepare you. When we attach the name Christian to things now many times in our culture, it unfortunately has almost become a little more divisive than it has welcoming. And to even do another layer of cynicism, people will start trying to say this denomination, that denomination. You could tell by the question, I'm not for all that, but how do you address that? How do you either prevent that? How do you open up, but yet have members? You mentioned the requirements earlier. How do you determine if someone's a Christian?
Well,
that's a bigger question there. If you don't want to address that, that's fine.
Part of the membership process is reviewing and agreeing with our statement of faith, which would be familiar to many Christians and our beliefs of the Trinity, that is part of the process. So somebody could lie, but we're trusting that they wouldn't do that. That you want to associate yourself with other Christians, you mm-hmm. want to build God's kingdom, and if you're, you know, if you're demonstrating your eligibility for membership, agreeing to the statement of faith, you know, we welcome you into the family.
Right. And other than just being like on really cool podcast and talking about what you're doing, what are some of the roles that you're filling with you and your team? This is, I'll probably ask for some business tips on this, but tell me what your specific role is currently with the organization.
So in addition to leading marketing across really any channel, and we don't play in every channel, you know, we're not advertising on television. You're not going to see a Super Bowl ad with Christian Community Credit Union. You're not going to see a stadium named after us, but we are very active in the digital space. So digital marketing has proven to be a very effective way to reach Christ followers across this country and make known who we are and who we serve and how we serve God and building the kingdom. But we do a lot of other things internally. And something I love about being in Christian Community Credit Union, being in a, you know, we are the largest faith-based credit union, but we're small in comparison to to even, you know, you mentioned Navy Federal, they're much larger. So it's a small team, and we all jump in to help each other, whether we're in operations or in our ministry development team or finance. You really don't find people saying that's not part of the job, drawing strong distinctions. So people jump in on business development. If we have an opportunity to serve a large ministry, we'll jump in as marketing. Others will jump in as well to help serve that ministry's needs and serve the members of that ministry. So that's something that is just I love about our culture, and a lot of comes down to the mission that we profess to and who we serve, and the size of the staff. People are just very willing to help.
What is something, there's a lot of listeners and myself included that do things in that digital space. And, you know, you don't have to give me away any of your trade secrets or anything like that. However, in the spirit of good Christian sharing, what are some things that are working well for y'all now to get to your target audiences? What are some either techniques, tactics, you know, strategies? What are some things that you're seeing? This is working well, and we're excited about this as we, you know, head into this. We're recording in early-ish 2024 as we head into 2024. What are some things you're liking?
So a lot of the work that we do to drive organic traffic, so a lot of the search engine optimization work we do is one, it's inexpensive, and two, it can be very effective. A lot of the work, we do a lot of testing with our user experience. So we have some tools in place that allow us to test one presentation versus another one to find which one is going to resonate most with website visitors. And we've found some tactics that work very effectively in attracting new prospects and helping them discover our products and get through the application process more easily. And that's also relatively inexpensive to do. So we do have good success with paid search, although, you know, it is a daily battle because, you know, big tech is not friendly to faith-based institutions. And so we find that we have to continuously and daily, we have to refine our strategies, our creative, because we'll have creative just get, you know, maybe it mentioned faith or was too faith-based and doesn't get shown. So we have good success there, but we have to be very vigilant in managing that. And then we implemented a marketing automation solution about a year and a half ago, and that's been very good at helping us to connect with folks who may have started an application but didn't complete it, help encourage them to come back and pick up where they left off. You know, we'll even connect prospects with a human being to help them through the process. So if it was something about the application that was too daunting, we've got somebody who is available on chat or even by phone who can help them.
Very good. So yeah, I heard, and I like that SEO is a strong source for you, and because those are obviously lower cost, but takes work over a long time. And then I was wondering if y'all were doing anything paid and if y'all were seeing any positives or negatives. And it is an interesting world out there. Is Christian Community Credit Union, that is your website, is that kind of a focal point that you would want to drive people to if they want more info for you?
Absolutely. It's mycccu.com. And there you can discover the products that we have to offer. We've got a full range of banking and lending products for consumers, as well as a full range of banking and lending products for churches and ministries and business. And then we have an entire section of resources, which contains budgeting tools, stewardship tips. We have a whole blog series on helping your children learn good financial habits, learn good stewardship habits, learn, you know, giving back to the kingdom at an early age. So a whole full set of resources there you can find as well.
Is this, and I'm actually scrolling down the site now, and I like, this is probably a good marketing question, that welcome CD 5 months, 5.25% APY got my attention. I'm sure that's, y'all are aware of that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Compared to the, you know, the 0.001, I asked the guy at Wells Fargo, I said, Are you embarrassed even saying that rate that you're paying right now? And he didn't know what to say. He had no answer for that. Sorry. That was probably me not being Christ-like to him. I need to work on that. And yeah, I'm scrolling down through here. So business, is it possible for a business to have an account outside of a ministry?
It is. Yes. We have a full range of business products and services. And now that's an area we're really looking to have a greater impact on. So we're really looking to expand the number of businesses we're able to serve. So it's a big area of focus for this year to continue serving ministry well, continue serving consumers well, but we want to be able to serve Christian business owners as well.
Very good. All right. Well, Aaron, I appreciate it. I'm scrolling through here, actually looking at things very intriguing to me. So what else would you like to say for someone to connect with you or get together with you? Where can they find you and just get more info? And this could be either you personally or through the credit union. You gave the website, and we'll make sure we include all those links and all the notes.
Yeah. Beyond the website, mycccu.com. You can find me on LinkedIn, Aaron Cade. You can email me, acaid@myccu.com. I'd be happy to hear from you and answer questions and help you discover what we have to offer at the credit union. So, and we've got a whole team who can jump in and assist as well.
Good. Yeah, I've had fun with the conversation. My final question, Aaron, we are seek, go, create. Those three words definitely have some spiritual meaning to them. Mm-hmm. But if I allowed you to choose one of those over the other two and why, which word would you choose? Seek, go, or create?
I would choose create. And there's one, that's what I love doing. I love building. I love making things. So it's, you know, I've had a great time doing that at the credit union, coming in just with my team, just building new things with the larger credit union team. But it's taking, for me, it connotes taking the resources God has given you and use them to create something bigger in His glory, in His service. And so I get excited thinking about creating new things that are to the glory of God.
Very cool. Aaron, I appreciate the conversation. And for those that are listening in, go check out Christian Community Credit Union, myccu.org.
myccu.com.
Yeah, very good. And I'll tell you that one of the reasons that I even wanted to have this conversation, because I'm intrigued by the model and things like that, but it's just something that's always nagging at me is, where's my money going? Who is it supporting? You know, what degree of control and transparency do I have with it? So I appreciate it. This has almost been a little bit of me just checking it out to see if it makes sense for me and my companies and businesses and ministries that we have too. So I appreciate it. Go check out all that Aaron has and connect with him over on LinkedIn if you want to do that. We are Seek, Go, Create. We're releasing new episodes every Monday here. Your support means the world to us. Now you can tip us, buy me a coffee, or offer financial support at seekgocreate.com/support. Contributions start at just $1. And if you leave a comment, your comment could be featured in a future episode. Once again, visit seekgocreate.com/support. Until next time, continue being all that you were created to be.